If you haven't already, greet your neighbor, your friend, if there's anyone that you don't know, and then my friend Erica Hansen, we met her in Guatemala, and she's visiting with us for the week. She's sitting over here, so make sure you know anyone say hello to her in the service. Anyone else? You got any announcements from the congregation? Okay, I've got a couple. The youth are, well, actually, it's not just the music. The whole Columbia Presbytery are going the whitewater rafting trip. It's August 23rd. We're just going up for the day. We're going to leave at 7 in the morning, do the 6-hour trip, and then come back that night. The cost is $120, and I need to know who, registration and money no later than Tuesday of this week, if anybody's interested. Also, the horse show is next Saturday. And the youth will be doing a hamburger hot dog booth to raise money for the youth.
Along with barbecue.
Cheese Delight. I'm sorry, I didn't know that they were doing that too. So we'll be at the horse show. It is a known full again for those of you who didn't know. It starts at 16th Saturday. Any prayer requests? Well, we're quiet this morning. Everybody wake up. I have prayed. My goddaughter Shannon, who had surgery on Monday for her scoliosis, is doing well, and she got to go home on Friday. So she's doing really well, so that's a praise. Anyone else? John Post is having surgery on his knee on Wednesday. Keep him in your prayers. Anyone else? Okie doke. Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worshiping God. Opening this morning is responsive. It's written in your bulletin. Please stand. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God.
Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles.
They shall run and not be weary.
They shall walk and not faint. Our first hymn this morning is We're Marching to Zion, page 555 in the hymnal.
offer prayer. Lord God, we come unto you with thanksgiving in our hearts for the promise of Zion. We also thank you, Lord, for the hope of Zion. And Lord, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to prepare the way, or to make the way, as well as to go back or come back to you and to prepare that city, make it ready for your saints. Lord, thank you that you have called us into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us the faith to hear the call and to respond. Lord, we thank you for the hope that is ours as your people. And we pray, Lord, as we march along this way, that we would not grow weary, but that we would lean on you and gain strength from you, O Lord, and that we would not try to do this task by ourselves or make this march alone, that we would always look to you to be our leader, as the Israelites did as they traveled from Egypt to Israel. Lord, we know sometimes they forgot, but then your cloud was always there by day and your pillar of fire by night. And we pray for your presence in our lives today, that we would keep mindful of it. Lord, let us not forget. Thank you. Thank you that you are leading. And Lord, we come to offer this prayer in the name of the Jesus who came to earth and lived and taught and died, was buried, rose again, and ascended. And Lord, one of the important aspects of his teaching was to pray, to come to you, and how to come to you. So thus we come. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our statement of faith is the Apostles' Creed. It's found on the screen and also in page 716 of the new hymnal, if you would say it with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, who only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The prayer for confession comes from Genesis 32, Romans 9, and Matthew 14. If you say it with me. Gracious God, provider of all we need, we are often content to rely on our own devices, our creativity, our cleverness. We congratulate ourselves for our accomplishments. yet we find that these achievements and acquisitions do not fill the deep hunger inside of us. We long for the Spirit you alone can provide. Forgive us, merciful Father. Help us to see the blessings you offer, that we may be your bread for the world. Blessed, blessed God. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness comes from Psalm 17 and Matthew 14. Hear the good news. God's mercy is plentiful and God's grace is abundant. Receive the bread of forgiveness and steadfast love. To him is what a friend we have in Jesus, page 435.
wonderful items here on this table.
to you with thanksgiving, with appreciation. And Lord, we pray for your help that we might live lives showing we are your people.
Our offertory sentence this morning comes from 1 John 3:17. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Would our ushers please come forward? Parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He tells them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. for there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as those. The word of God for the people of God.
Get to finish it. Does that ever happen? You start to clean the house. You mend, you house cleaning men. And then a friend comes by and wants to talk, so you don't get the house cleaning. But you women who cut the grass, you start cutting the grass and something happens, the phone rings and you're calling the phone, and that takes up all of your time. It happens so often. In my life, I will start something and then something gets in the way. And I fail to get to finish it. You run out of time or run out of energy or plan too much. And sometimes that's the reason. Well, it happened to me last Sunday. And I had much on my mind last Sunday anyway, but I planned too much for the time that we had. We started last week with five parables of Jesus. Five parables about God's kingdom. God's kingdom. And we mentioned, I hope, you didn't, or if you forgot, that God's kingdom in heaven, Matthew refers to God's kingdom as the kingdom of heaven, is like Luke, same parables, calls the kingdom of God, uses the word God. Kingdom, God's kingdom, starts here on earth. We become a part of His kingdom here on earth. And it continues in another life. After this life. God's kingdom, what's it like? God's kingdom is life. Jesus tells us there are numerous kingdom parables. Are parables about the kingdom of God. And here in Matthew 13, we had five. They had more than five, but these kind of fit together. So we started working on them last week. Kingdom. Think about God's kingdom. Let your thoughts run to God's kingdom. I found some notes in one Bible, kind of stuck between the pages, even last evening. They were dated February the 10th, 08. And I had written something about the kingdom. The kingdom building business. Kingdom of God building business. Church is the place. That's the business of the church. If you want to make church the place, maybe we should say the church house, is where we work diligently on building the kingdom down at the corner of Triune intersection the corner of 96 and 31A, 41A, they build portable buildings. And that's their business. But come up the road, going north is always up, is it not? Coming north, 41A, 31A, we find the church. Building the kingdom. Getting people ready for the kingdom. Come on down in this church. Getting people ready for the kingdom. The next church, a mile down the road. Getting people ready for the kingdom. And there might be more from than that. Gene Mills, Betty Mosley, brought me a book and tell her that I shared her book a year ago, 2 years ago. Not sure just when it was. Good Baptist preacher, worked for the Baptist Sunday School Board, or Lifeway, they call it now. He written numerous books about the kingdom. This is the kingdom-focused church. The church needs to be. He emphasizes throughout this book that the church needs to be focused on building God's kingdom. Starting here on earth, live kingdom lives here on earth as much as we can, and then we'll get in that heavenly kingdom. And he says, page 55, if you want to read it, bringing people into the kingdom must be our focus above everything else. Bringing people into God's kingdom. That is our focus above everything else. And he also says, another page, a local church exists to reach people for Christ in a given location. The church exists expressly for the purpose of establishing God's kingdom, His rule, His reign in the lives of the people, in the community where it thrives. Hopefully. I will, but not too far fetched. You are people whose the kingdom is alive in your life. We're in a given location, and we're here for the purpose of establishing God's kingdom. Let's look at the three parables that we didn't cover last week. We covered the mustard seed, the parable of the mustard seed last week. We kind of touched on it. That's all you can do. We touched on the parable of the leaven and the bread last week. Now, the seed is planted, it grows. Big enough to receive all who will come. The Spirit of God or Jesus is planted in the community. The Word is planted. It reaches out quietly sometimes, like yeast and bread or leaven and bread. It reaches out through that community. Well, the problem with the church is that we keep our message to ourselves. We don't want to tell anybody about Jesus. We pray we might offend them. But whatever. Hidden treasure. God's kingdom is like a hidden treasure. Anybody ever fly out? Anybody ever fly out behind you? One or two of you fly out behind you. Mr. West, did you ever fly out behind you? Okay. He might be the only one here that's ever done that. Maybe LD is, but we had practice the time we came along, right? But we
probably the one in the middle of the path. He was lying in the field and he plowed up an empty grave. And people used to bury their money in fruit jars, tin cans, and things that failed after the failure to watch the prayers on people. And every once in a while,
somebody else, because it wasn't his field. But he went and purchased the field, and it was his. The treasure was. Jesus was the treasure. Or it's what Jesus was trying to say. He was the treasure. The gospel was the field, or is the field. And we could say today, put it, Jesus is the treasure, and the gospel, the good news, the Bible, the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's where we find most about Jesus. It could be that a person finds Jesus just as they're going home from a day's work and see a revival meeting, people gathering for a revival meeting, and stop in and hear the gospel and respond. More likely in today's world, that was 50 years ago, where that was could easily happen. But today's world, it might be as we sat and shared a cup of coffee and shared the good news of Jesus. Or it might be on the job, somebody mentions Jesus and has opportunity to either tell about or show by the way they live the value of Jesus in a person's life. The man sold he had and bought the field and thus the treasure. He saw Jesus as being worth all that he had. And then later in the New Testament, we read about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul enumerates all of his accomplishments in life. And then he says, he gave them all up for Jesus, because Jesus was the treasure. The other parable is the parable of the pearl of great price. This man was on a mission, or so it appears that he was. He was seeking the pearl of great price. If Jesus is that pearl, and he is, he had heard about Jesus and he was out to find him. He was out to give his life to him. And that's somewhat my experience. I knew about Jesus. I trusted Jesus as much as I could, but I kept doubting. I kept doubting. Where this man had looked, we do not know, but I know where I looked. I looked through seminary, and I looked through a Christian college, and I looked through church, and I guess in my search for the assurance that Jesus was my Savior, I made it to the altar, I'm not sure how many times, saying, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I want to serve Jesus. I want to be saved. This man, he searched, we do not know where. Probably he searched in many places. I came to the Tusculum church once during a revival when a fellow classmate from Bethel College was preaching there, Brother Hegwood. And I remember a few sermons through the years, and he preached about how people looked in the wrong places to find happiness. And then somebody came along a few years ago and wrote a song about love, looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, wherever this man had looked, searching for this pearl, we don't know where he had looked, but he had searched in the wrong places. But finally, he got to the right place. And he gave up all that he had and bought the pearl. Now I see a contrast to this parable in God's Word, in Jesus' dealing with people. It wasn't a parable, it was an experience. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and he says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And they talked a while, and finally Jesus summed the guy up, or sized him up, and says, go sell what you have and come follow me. And this young ruler says, can't do it. You're not that important. You're not of that much value in my thinking or in my life. I've got to hold on to them. But Jesus says here in this parable, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like a man who finds that pearl of great price. The rich young ruler had found the pearl of great price, but he wasn't willing to give up those things that would separate him from that pearl. The rich young ruler. And then the kingdom of heaven is like a net. How many of you, and some of you I know have done this, I only observed it being done, go with seining. Take a seine and get out in a creek or a stream. It's a fish net. And you can seine for minnows, and that's okay. But I grew up in a community where people seine for big fish. Did you do that in Perry County? Okay. They did it in my county. And then it's one person way down the road to watch out for the game warden, because they didn't want to get... And if the game warden was coming, he would make some kind of signal and all the seiners would go high, you know. Okay. And pretty common. A cheating way to catch fish. But Jesus used this big net to illustrate. And it was legal and right
for fishermen out in the lake to play the way they catch a lot of fish today out in the gulf, is it not? Go out, take a net, and sleep it.
Well, these little creeks, you were not supposed to do it. But it's right to do it. The Sea of Galilee, I guess, is where Jesus has spent so much time. They take the net out, and it gathers in all kinds of fish. And he says, the kingdom of God is like gathering in all kinds of people. It's like this net gathering in all kinds of fish. Gathers in all kinds of people. And that's where we come in. We being you. To gather in all that we can. Keep the doors open. Keep inviting people in. Keep giving opportunities for people to come into the fellowship of God's people and trust, hear about Jesus and trust in Jesus and devote their life to serving Jesus. Trust Him as their Lord and Savior and commit their life to serving Him. But in this parable, there is also a sad part. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. Doesn't matter what I wish. That has little to do with real life. There's a separation. Because in this net, at the separation time, they bring the fish in and they throw the good in one pile, but the bad they throw somewhere else. There's another parable about this, the parable of the tares. Man had a wheat field. Wheat was growing, but an enemy came and sowed tares there. They were growing together. Somebody said, do we go and tear up the tares? No. Let them grow together. Let them grow together, and in the end, there will be the separation or the judgment. Also, in Matthew 25, got two parables. Parable of the virgins, wise virgins and foolish virgins. Foolish virgins did not prepare for the end. They're kind of like the grasshopper who played. And then the separation, the judgment seat of Christ, the separation of the sheep from the goats. But the kingdom of God is like that net that brings all in and gives everybody an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom. Are you in the kingdom? Are you trusting Jesus? That's the proper clothing to have on. Admission is free. Jesus has paid the fee for us to enter into the kingdom of God. Maybe you need this morning to feel that need to express publicly your commitment to Jesus, your faith in Jesus, that you're trusting Him and want to serve Him. We're going to sing In Christ Alone. It's on the screen only. We're going to stand together and sing. You don't have to come to the altar to make a commitment to Jesus. But it's good sometime just to come and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. You may want to come and counsel with me or allow me to counsel with you. Or you may just want to come to pray. Just kneel and pray about your being a part of the kingdom. Maybe it's a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a part your king, your faith, in Christ alone.
Thank you.
of it. Through Christ.